from the center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Former President Trump this hour in Powder Springs, Georgia at a faith-based forum.
Well, I think this is a country that needs religion. It's like the glue that holds it together, and we don't have that.
Vice President Kamala Harris visiting a semiconductor plant in Michigan today. Earlier on the tarmac, asked about her takeaway from Trump's rally at Madison Square Garden over the weekend.
He is focused and actually fixated on his grievances, on himself, and on dividing our country.
Police saying fires set at ballot boxes in Oregon and Washington State are connected, and they have identified a suspect's vehicle. Quarter pounders are coming back to 900 McDonald's that pulled them from the menu last week because of E. coli cases, one of which was deadly. The onions seem to be the problem, and they're going to stay off the sandwiches. Former President Trump's advisor Steve Bannon is scheduled to be released from prison today after serving a four-month sentence for contempt of Congress. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. More focus on Wisconsin this week from the presidential campaigns. On Wednesday, just 6 days from Election Day, Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Madison and former President Donald Trump in the Green Bay area. Trump is scheduled to host a rally at Resch Center in Ashwaubenon, joined by former Packers quarterback Brett Favre. The Republican candidate's remarks are scheduled for 6, and a campaign advisory suggests he'll address issues related to the economy. Vice President Harris will be on the University of Wisconsin campus for a Get Out the Vote concert and rally featuring musical artists, including Gracie Abrams, Mumford & Sons, Remy Wolf, and members of the National. The rally starts at noon and is scheduled to end by the time Trump takes the stage in Ashwaubenon. In addition to the Wednesday events, Republican Vice Presidential candidate J.D. Vance campaigns in Racine today, while First Lady Jill Biden and Gwen Walz, wife of Harris's running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, will be in La Crosse. Donald Trump returns to the state Friday for a rally at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, site of this year's Republican National Convention. The MyVote website is again subject to litigation. WisPolitics reports a federal lawsuit has been filed by a Green Bay voter and the Oshkosh town clerk seeking to bar Wisconsin's Elections Commission from using its MyVote website. They argue that the system lacks proper cybersecurity protections and that the commission wasn't authorized to create the online portal. The lawsuit comes over a month after local clerks started sending absentee ballots to voters. A Chinese company is bringing back the Snapper brand. Lawn care enthusiasts were upset last year when Briggs & Stratton closed down the brand, but the Milwaukee Business Journal reports through a licensing deal, Day North America will bring the Snap back. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers beat the Jaguars. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a 30-27 win in Jacksonville. Backup Malik Willis replaced Jordan Love at quarterback after he suffered a groin injury. Willis with a 51-yard pass to Jaden Reed set up the winning field goal and says they tried to run that play earlier in the game.
We were looking for this certain look, and we didn't get it the first time. Actually, we ran it twice, and then we ran it again, and we got the look we were looking for, and I feel like Jay Reed popped open, and I'm glad we got it to him.
Up next, the Packers host the Lions. The Wisconsin Badgers are on the road Saturday against the Iowa Hawkeyes after losing at home to Penn State 28-13 over the weekend. Quarterback Braden Locke throwing a costly pick six in the second half. NBA, the Bucks in Boston tonight after losing to the Nets last night in Brooklyn, 115-102. How did Giannis play?
I thought Giannis played the right way the entire night. 22 points, 7 assists, 12 rebounds. I mean, guarding everywhere. I don't know what more you can do.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly sunny today and unseasonably warm. That's thanks to the south breeze whipping up to 30 miles per hour, taking our temperatures to the low 70s. As they continue to stay feisty overnight and through tomorrow, we spike to 80 degrees. All ahead of rain rolling in on Wednesday into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 67 degrees.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project. Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. And I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote, or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mary Hayes is the chair of the Shawmigan Democrats for Bayfield and Ashland Counties. Going to get a little update with her. We will wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Hey, welcome to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Happy Monday to us all. Jess P.S. is on the board. I am on the mic, and you can join us anytime, talk or text. We're getting there, Jess. Well, we had 8 days.
Eight days, baby.
Oh. We can do it.
Oh, boy.
I've stayed drunk longer than 8 days. I'm pretty sure we could. I was young. I can't do that anymore. Mm. My younger days.
You're down to 6 days, huh? Yeah,
well, at least a couple, man. Had a great weekend. Happy 50th to my brother-in-law, Sebi. We closed down Mad Planet, dancing the night away. Oh. Had a blast. Good to see everyone. And it was great to be out and about and lots of people coming in. My brother-in-law's friends all over the country got to see lots of folks I haven't seen in a while, and to catch up and to go and have some food and drinks and dancing. So I missed the Nazi rally, but we'll get into that in the 5 o'clock
plenty
hour.
Plenty of time for that.
Plenty of time, plenty of sound, folks, and you're going to want to hear it. Big show today, John Nichols from the Cap Time and the Nation. He's going to join us at 4:30. And hopefully going to have some other guests this week, reaching out to Ben Wickler as well, trying to get him on for this week as well. And lots of folks that I think you're going to want to hear from on these waning moments of this election cycle. God help us all. 855-75-CIVIC. Want to start locally here, and you know the big concerns about the megas, of course, are the migrants, the illegal immigrants that are taking their jobs and apparently voting, but not necessarily the case, of course, because this is mega and they like to, you know, excite people. Let's call it.
Maybe you're kidding.
Rev up the base.
Nah,
and it's not like they're actually going out there trying to attract independent, undecided, you know, type voters. It seems to me, you know, certainly given this rally and some of the rhetoric coming out of MAGA these days, they're just trying to get their base to turn out. And if you get turned on and turned out by some of the trash that was talked about at this New York City, Madison Square Garden rally slash whatever the hell that was, you know, I have some words for you. And well, there's other folks that have words, other opinion pieces that I will read and share with you so you know exactly where some people stand, what some people say. But the reporting here at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Quinn Clark, no, thousands of undocumented immigrants are not voting in Wisconsin elections.
Duh.
But you gotta say it and then what? Support it? And with all the Stop the Steal and all the lawsuits and everything that went on, don't you think they would have found? Well, they did find some, but it's so minuscule, it's irrelevant, huh?
Yeah,
from the reporting.
You know what also happens? People die from vending machines.
Like 7 a year, I think.
That's more than non-citizens vote.
They try to get their arm in to get their candy bar or something. It jams and it falls on them. And it's a hell of a way to go.
Therefore, we should ban vending machines. All of them.
All vending machines are bad. Quinn Clark reporting, with the election just 2 weeks away. All right, less than that. One of the most widespread claims on social media platforms like X and Facebook is that large numbers of non-citizens are voting. The false claim, I'll say it slow for the mega. The false claim has been echoed repeatedly by former President Trump, posted dozens of times by ex-owner himself, Elon Musk. This guy's a piece of work. And many of those posts specifically sow mistrust in Wisconsin's elections. For example, online personality Peter Berniger, an election denier known for filing over a dozen lawsuits against state and local officials, told his 45,000 followers on X last month that, quote, there are 300,000 non-citizens and illegals who are poised to cast a ballot in our elections in Wisconsin. Now, Berniger attributed his statement to data showing the Department of Transportation had issued more than 258,000 driver's licenses to non-citizens since 2019, information he said was obtained through a public records request. Now, only citizens who show valid proof of residency can vote in Wisconsin elections. DOT spokesperson John DeFrivers declined to confirm those figures or comment on Berniger's claims, citing the department policy against speaking about ongoing lawsuits. Ooh, there's an ongoing lawsuit. But in a motion to dismiss a lawsuit making similar claims last month, attorneys for the DOT said Wisconsin, quote, has many checks in place to ensure only citizens vote. In this motion, the DOT noted that people must prove they are U.S. citizens or lawful residents to get a driver's license or ID card. The Federal Real ID Act requires all states to check immigration status before issuing driver's licenses. And although people are not required to prove their citizenship to register to vote, any non-citizen who tries to do so would be breaking both state and federal law. In Wisconsin, election fraud conviction is a Class I felony, which may result in a fine of up to $10,000 and 3.5 years in prison or both. Both. Of non-citizen voting being a problem, Wisconsin Election Commissioner spokesperson Riley Vetterkind told Public Investigator. This is at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Now, here we go. Let's get into some of the stats. And we got more stats and numbers. I'm going to throw them out there because I don't know how you figure this thing out, Peter Berniger. By the way, grandson of Hillshire Farms fame. So way to be privileged. Way to use your time and resources, Peter. A study of the 2016 election by the Brennan Center for Justice found that across 12 states, only 30 incidents of suspected non-citizen voting were referred for further investigations. These incidents were out of 23.5 million votes, which means a potential non-citizen vote accounted for 0.0001% of the votes. 0.0001% of the votes. The Wisconsin Election Commission has been made aware of only 4 alleged cases of election fraud related to citizenship since 2015. That's 9 years. One case happened last year when a Ukrainian woman was charged with a felony for voting as a non-citizen in Mequon's school board election. She said that due to her limited English abilities, the vote was a result of a misunderstanding. Vetterkind said the names of people who are registered to vote in Wisconsin and who participate in an election are fully open to public inspection, including by law enforcement entities. So there's some statistics, some numbers. Now, Peter Berniger, Peter, as mentioned, this guy's Hillshire Farms grandkin from New London, Wisconsin. Man, I grew up in Stevensville. I mean, I was right there, man. He's right up the street from me. I think, what, down S-76? Not sure what the streets are up there in New London. Went to the Dairy Queen, man. New London had the Dairy Queen. Hortonville didn't have that. Stevensville didn't have anything.
Claim to fame.
We had to go to New London to get to the Dairy Queen. But Peter, come on, man. Are you kidding me? Here is a little bit from The Guardian. Years before his relentless hunt for evidence of election interference, Berniger focused on a very different venture, entrepreneurship and startups. According to court filings, now again, this is Berniger. This is a social media guy referenced in the Journal Sentinel piece about immigrant voting. According to court filings, Berniger and an associate raised hundreds of thousands of dollars from investors to bankroll a collection of companies in the food processing business. Among other ventures Berninger touted was a company was called WeGel, which he claimed was capable of harnessing waste from catfish processing plants to produce an alternative form of gelatin, one that could be used widely in pharmaceuticals. But according to The Guardian, there was a problem. The business partners were never able to manufacture a sellable product. According to charges brought by the department in a 2008 case before a U.S. district court in Mississippi, a jury convicted Berninger of mail fraud and bank fraud for his participation in the scheme. He successfully appealed the initial amount of restitution down to $1.7 million from the approximately $2.2 million initially ordered, but was unable to convince the courts to reduce his prison sentence of 70 months. It's not clear how Berninger, whose grandparents founded the sausage and meat company Hillshire Farm, sustains his election-related efforts today. So, a fraudster. I mean, a convicted fraudster. The dude had to pay $1.7 million and do 70 months. So consider the source. You can say what you want about me. They haven't caught me yet. No fraud conviction. Never had to pay $1.7 million yet. Keep your fingers crossed. So, yeah, dude, come on. Are you kidding me? So he's caught up in this. Some way, somehow, there's some of the numbers. Also, the Washington Post reporting from just a couple of days ago, Patrick Marley, our friend, used to be over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, now with the Washington Post. Quote, GOP focus on rare non-citizen voting may continue long after Election Day. Around the country, Republicans are seeking to rewrite voting registration laws and file lawsuits over non-citizen voting in Wisconsin. It's coming down to a fight over the state constitution. We'll put this one in the show notes as well, but I also want to throw a couple paragraphs out there for you. Quote, evidence of non-citizen voting in state and federal elections is scant. Election officials who oversaw voting for 23.5 million people in 2016 identified 30 instances of possible non-citizen voting, according to the Brennan Center for Justice. That amounts to one potential non-citizen vote for every 783,000 ballots cast. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger announced Wednesday that his office had identified 20 non-citizens on the voter rolls, or 0.002% of the state's 8.2 million registered voters, and a federal judge in 2018 determined at most 39 non-citizens got onto Kansas's voter rolls over 19 years, with administrative errors likely counting for some of them. 0.002, 0.0003. I mean, pick your number. Whatever it is, it's not enough to impact an election. And for the focus, for all these Republicans throwing these numbers out there, making a big stink about it, you know, wanting to change Wisconsin's constitution to a does not exist except in their heads. This is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Going to get to some of your calls coming up next. Also, don't forget, John Nichols, he's coming up from the Cap Times and the Nation. He'll come on and join us at 4:30. But I want to get your sense. Are non-citizens, is this a concern? Is this a problem? If these numbers are accurate, and this is what we've seen, we're talking about the Georgia Secretary of State, the Brennan Center's investigations, right? They've looked into these, all the cases that were filed. There's nothing there. Not to say it doesn't happen, but it happens so infrequently as to not matter at all. In fact, I was reading some articles the other day. A Republican, I forget what state. I'll look it up over the break. Well, she filled out her mother's, dead mother's absentee ballot and then forged her mother's signature to witness her own. 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
A lot can happen in 25 years, especially in the swamps of Washington, D.C. When we first elected her, Tammy Baldwin focused on Wisconsin. But Baldwin changed. Today, she rakes in campaign cash from left-wing groups and does their bidding. Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men. making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. She supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. Baldwin even voted to send stimulus checks to criminals in jail, including the Boston Marathon bomber. We thought we knew Tammy Baldwin, but she's changed. Now it's time for us to make a change. Replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a three-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical five-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green to fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. Call 608-588-9880 today.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
News from the center, WRCE.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It is a text line. And we will get to you folks. Just be patient. I wanted to throw out there that I wasn't going mad. A Minnesota woman is accused of turning in a ballot for her dead mother. A routine check caught it, according to the AP. Another Minnesota woman accused of trying to submit a mail ballot for her recently deceased mother has been charged with three felonies, showing how routine election safeguards thwart rare instances of attempted voter fraud. Officials in Itasca County, about 200 miles north of Minneapolis, said Monday that the improper vote was caught because the state provides a monthly list of people who died to election officials, then flagged those names in the state's voter roll registration database. The woman returned ballots for herself and her mother in early October, and the county auditor's office, which oversees local elections, quickly verified the mother had died at the end of August, almost 3 weeks before it began mailing out absentee ballots. The criminal case was filed last week in state district court in Grand Rapids, as former President Trump continues to suggest he will lose the November 5th election only if his political opponents cheat. There's no evidence of significant voter fraud in the 2020 election, which Trump lost, don't tell him. And there is no evidence Trump adversaries can or will rig the election this year. A woman told the sheriff's lieutenant in an interview she filled out her mother's ballot after her mother's death, according to a probable cause statement filed with the district court. The statement said the woman was an ardent, quote unquote, an ardent Trump supporter who had wanted to vote for him before she died. The county attorney, Jake Fauchald, said the case showed election officials can catch problems and even rural counties have the resources and willingness to prosecute election fraud. The county has about 45,000 residents. It was flagged almost immediately. We do have ways of catching and flagging these fraudulent ballots. We're going to do something about it so those ballots don't get through. So, yeah, there is, those things happen. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but in this particular case, there's an ardent Trump supporter, yeah, I guess, doing her mom's last wish, but that's against the law, mm-hmm, and now she's charged. Mm-hmm. 855-752-4842. David from Mequon, you will be first today. Happy Monday, David. What do you got for us?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So really quickly, there's a couple problems with what you stated. I've been following what's been going on in the state of Virginia. Not sure if you've been following over there. There was roughly 1,650 voters or non-citizens reported.
1,300 suspected. Yes, 1,300. Yes, I'm aware of it.
But the judge said, no, they can't be purged.
They can't be purged, correct. Because, you know why, hang on, right. David, do you know why the judge made that determination?
Yeah, because it was under this 90-day requirement.
Correct. And if I may, David, there was some evidence that some of those people were actually citizens. And it was a bulk action. They got to do individualized, and it's got to be before 90 days.
All right.
Here's the point, though, David. Do you object to that? Is that the right decision or the wrong decision, in your opinion, sir?
I think, yes, they should, according to what I read, because they're non-citizens, you don't even need to worry about the 90-day grace period because they're not allowed to vote, period.
But the judge cited specific evidence that there were some that were actually citizens. So would you want to be one of those citizens, say half of them are citizens and half weren't? Right, you can't just throw them off the rules, right? Well, you're supposed to do it at an individualized basis.
So the ones who are citizens, yes, they should be allowed to go back on the rolls. But the ones who are non-citizens, there's absolutely no reason why to put them back in the rolls.
Okay, but how are you going to show? Do you have the time right now, David, to go through all this? That's the point. Is it so close? Well, to the election's next week, man. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't have same-day registration, you're totally just screwing people. You can't do that.
Well, again, I don't think it's that big a deal. I think it should be done correctly. But then you look at Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the county. There's 2,500 now that just came up. You can Google Lancaster, Pennsylvania, potential voter fraud already. There's a lot of suspicious writing and all this other stuff. The point is that, you know, it doesn't take much. If you remember, Al Franken won the state of Minnesota when he bounced out Coleman by like 300 votes. That was it. He became Senator Al Franken in 2008. And so, yeah, it can matter, especially.
Okay, but can you give me anywhere where it's been 300, man? We're talking about 20 out of millions. It's not even been 300 out of the totality of any of this information that I've cited, David. Can you give me an example of that kind of massive illegal immigration, non-citizens voting? Because, yeah, man, if that would be the case, yes, absolutely. But that's not the case, man. That's not being proven anywhere.
They're not even looking for it, Don. I mean, the city clerks are not even looking for it. So we don't really know the actual number potentially out there.
Okay, man. Listen, you can't even register if you check the box. Now, I know folks want to say, well, you got to, you know, bring your birth certificate and your passport. I mean, good luck on that. You're talking about actual citizens are going to even have a more difficult time to vote. And that's not a good thing. Andrew from Detroit, we're going to slide you in here before John Nichols joins us at the bottom. Welcome, Andrew. What do you got?
Hey, John. So I'm using a sponge to get my brains off the wall after that last call. Good God.
Stay with us, Andrew. Don't do it, man.
Oh, my God. No, it just exploded on its own. It's not an idea.
Okay, okay.
Good God, I'm just it's never been. It never will be. It just is. Why would these people who are not why would they expose themselves
right
through voting?
Yeah.
Why would they?
They wouldn't, Andrew. Of course they wouldn't. If you're here, if you don't have legal status while you're here, yeah, and presumably you're probably working, doing something, you know, you want to stay under the radar. That's part of the problem that we have because we don't have the proper immigration system set up, which we could have had something more towards a reasonable system had Donald Trump not nixed the House effort to do that. But you're absolutely right. Why would they expose themselves to felonies and $10,000 and all this other? For what? For one vote? I don't buy it, man. It's too big of a risk. A couple of the texters, Andrew from Maine, the caller said it should be done right. The judge said it should be done right, not en masse. So the caller agrees with the judge. Yeah. Also, Virginia registration deadline is 22 days before the election. So if Jeff had it removed as a legal citizen, he would not be able to re-register. Thank you, Andrew. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. John Nichols coming up next.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Wisconsin election officials are reporting a nearly 40% increase in early in-person absentee voting over 2020. Early in-person absentee voting began Tuesday in the battleground state. The Wisconsin Elections Commission announced that as of Friday morning, 292,702 people had voted early in-person, compared with 209,665 as of the morning of Friday, October 23, 2020. The commission says voters have requested nearly a million absentee ballots, with 715,395 returned by mail or in-person early voters. Early in-person absentee voting continues through Sunday. The American Red Cross is highlighting the ongoing need for blood and platelet donors as festive schedules ramp up for this fall. Eligible individuals, especially those with type O blood and those giving platelets, are encouraged to make a donation just ahead of the holiday season. Blood supply momentum must remain steady as the Red Cross has worked this month to recover blood products uncollected due to recent hurricanes. Any disruption in the ability to collect blood can lead to an impact on routine and life-saving medical care. Blood drives will be held this week around the listening area. They include tomorrow from 9:30 to 3:30 at Lake Ridge Bank in Cross Plains and at Ho-Chunk Gaming in Baraboo Tuesday from 11:30 to 5:30. Two blood drives will be held Wednesday. The first will be held from 8 to 2 at River Valley High School. The second will be held from 11 to 4 at Weston High School. A blood drive will also be held Friday from noon to 4 at Messianic Christian Fellowship in Black Earth. The seasons may change, but the need for blood donors stay the same. Give blood or platelets and make a big difference in someone's life by visiting redcrossblood.org or by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It seems like it's taken forever, but there might be a Speed 3. See what I did there? In a recent chat with The Hollywood Reporter, 20th Century Studios' Steve Asbell gave the movie-going public hope when it comes to more sequels destined for the big screen in the near future. Asbell says he is open to Speed 3 if it's a great idea, but that the studio will definitely pursue another Alien and says there will be a new Predator film in theaters in 2025 as well. Asbell also added there would be most likely another Alien versus Predator. Thanks, but not really necessary, Steve. Looking for something new to watch as the Halloween season winds down? Check out Bad Monkey on Apple TV. It took me a while to warm up to it, but it is a good show and keeps you guessing. Vince Vaughn basically plays himself, but this time he's named Andrew Yancey, a disgraced detective in Miami trying to solve a case in which a severed arm is found with the middle finger of the hand extended. A funny gimmick, but the story unfolds nicely and the characters are interesting. Give it a watch. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 50s. And a mix of sun and clouds and staying mild tomorrow, high around 80. Showers and maybe even a rumble of thunder and breezy on Wednesday, high to the upper 70s. Much colder on Thursday. Currently at 68.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Will you dress up for Halloween, and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wore a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume, and it goes on over your other clothes, so I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying, we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Ian Teal from the YWEGA Film Festival. And Deirdre and Stephen Starry drop by the studio to talk about the 125th anniversary of the Brown County Historical Society.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Super jazzed as hell to introduce to you right now my next guest, John Nichols from the Cap Times, from the Nation magazine, a friend of ours. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, brother, it's good to be with you. You're playing Sticks.
Yeah, man. John, I asked just to play a little Sticks. This event that Donald Trump put on at the Madison Square Garden, he was teasing, man. Apparently, they have a secret that they're not going to tell us, him and what, Speaker Mike Johnson. And I'm really wondering what that secret is, John. What was your big takeaway from the closing argument from the Trump campaign in New York City?
The closing argument from the Trump campaign in New York City reminded me a lot of one of my favorite, maybe my favorite, Beavis and Butthead episode. And it's the one where Beavis and Butthead get assigned the night shift at the burger restaurant. Yeah. And then they get really bored. It's before they like throw all the burgers into the fan and totally destroy it. But people are driving up to the drive-up window. And they're saying, hello, is anybody there? And then you'll hear, like, go away. And I sort of thought, you know, that the message to a lot of voters, like a real lot of voters, was go away.
It didn't seem to be very inclusive whatsoever, and we do have some sound. We're going to get to that in the next hour. But we can contrast perhaps by tomorrow. Vice President Harris is going to put her closing argument to the American people from the ellipse tomorrow. What's your expectation there? How do you think that will compare to what we've seen recently from the Trump campaign?
I'm going to be vaguely more dignified.
Vaguely.
I also have a feeling there may be not substantial periods where the candidate just like rolls back and forth to music without any speaking.
The 40-minute playlist, right?
Yeah. With the worst playlist in America, by the way. Not that there weren't individual good songs on it. I mean, there are a couple of decent things. Of course, Respect Leonard Cohen and, you know, Hallelujah and things of that nature. Very good cover version by Loudon Wainwright, or by Rufus Wainwright. But with that said, put that playlist together the way it was put together, that was really bad.
Yeah.
And so by contrast, you know, you realize that Kamala Harris is touring with Bruce Springsteen, and then in Madison on Wednesday night, she's going to have Mumford Sons. And so, you know, by and large, I think Harris is going to win that side. But I think what you're really asking was a substantive question.
Yes.
And what I will say to this substantive question is this. I do think the ellipse speech is one of the most important speeches of Harris's career. It will be paid a lot of attention to, not merely because of what she's going to say, but also because of that stark contrast with Trump, right? Trump's closing message was, I am, you know, as crazy as you think I am. And Harris's message has to be something very different than that. I think it will be I have great regard for this America's this country's institutions, its traditions. But if she's smart, she will also say, at the same time, I know they haven't always served us all well. And I know why there's discontent and concern. And so putting that together, saying there's a way to solve our problems. And so she shouldn't just use that ellipse moment to remind everybody of everything that's wrong with Donald Trump. She should also say, look, we can make this system work. We can overcome these deep divisions and actually, as a country, do some great things. If she does it right, I think the combination of the Trump rally, which I believe was very damaging to Trump, at a point where people are really starting to pay attention, I mean, those whatever wavering voters there are, the combination of the Trump fiasco with a very strong Harris speech, if she pulls it off, that could really start to kind of open things up here at the close
and
give her
a strong finish. So, the pressure's on, my friend.
John Nichols from the Cap Times and The Nation magazine. John, you know, it's always the October surprise, and I keep seeing, you know, some folks thinking, well, it's Donald Trump, what he does and how he does it. He continues to be his own October surprise. Some of the reporting I've seen also, John, the polling, like, you know, that the averages of the polling are getting skewed because lots of right-wing polls have been dropping in the last, several weeks. Giving us the impression that perhaps this is a little closer than it is, and perhaps, laying down that seed corn, as it were, for the MAGA to say, well, hell, all the polls said they were tight, and all of a sudden she wins by five. There must be something wrong here. Do you agree with that sentiment that perhaps some of the righty polls are pulling the national averages?
Yeah, I do. I think that there are polls, the right has flooded the zone with polls.
Yeah.
They put in a lot of polls from groups that tend to skew a little more conservative, and from polling firms that tend to skew a little more conservative. You always have some of that, but I do think there's been some more of it. And I will tell you, one of the polls I really respect is the ABC News poll, and it came out on Sunday, and it showed Harris with, I think, a 5-point lead nationally. As well as really significant numbers among Black Americans, I think around 90%. Among Latino Americans, it was quite high. Women, it was well in the upper 50s. And that those numbers in that poll, to me, pointed to the prospect, not the certainty, because this is still a volatile time, but the prospect that she could get a win along the lines of Biden's, you know what I mean, that's kind of in that zone. It won't be the same as Biden, though, because the battleground states have changed. And remember, there's two things that matter here. Number one, Harris needs to have a large popular vote victory.
Yeah.
She needs to win all over the place, because that tells Trump, look, don't play games here. He may play games.
We know that.
I gotcha. But she needs that combination of a large popular vote victory. I think the rally that Trump did on Sunday helps with that in states like New York, California, other places. At the same time, of course, she's got to win the battleground states and get that electoral college vote up. My sense at this point is that she might not make it in Arizona. She might not pull Arizona off. She might pull Nevada off. I think that Georgia and North Carolina are still hard, difficult states. Pennsylvania's a little tough. I do think she's likely to win Michigan. I think she's likely to win Wisconsin. Not necessarily by landslides, but, good organization, a lot of good things happening.
Yeah.
And so when you add that all up, right, the space for Harris to win is there. But this last week is going to matter a lot, because if she can start to tip more of those battleground states to her, if she can pull it off, as she's trying to do right now, in Pennsylvania, in North Carolina, and in Georgia, maybe even get Arizona back in the game. If she could pull that off, it's a really solid victory. And I'll tell you one final thing, Don, that's really interesting. You tell me, who are the groups in the last month that Trump and Vance have really insulted?
Everybody? Except straight white men? John, that's a fair question, because it's not about who he's insulted, it's who he hasn't. Because I feel like that's a shorter list.
I realize it's a short list, but there's two groups that he's really kind of gone for. Right? His, not just him, I should say, more broadly, it's his campaign and the people associated with him.
Yeah.
Number one, Haitian Americans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Puerto Rican. Okay. Where are there a lot of Haitian Americans and Puerto Ricans? Florida. And so I will be very interested in this final week, whether the Harris campaign, which, by the way, just the other day went to Texas, kind of opening up the map a little bit, whether the Harris campaign may take a shot at Florida. Because if you really were to, if you have a tip into mobilizing in some of the communities that Trump has really insulted, suddenly a state like Florida can get more competitive. And it's not just me saying this. Rick Scott, the senator from Florida, has been scrambling to himself from that rally.
Yeah, I think that tells a lot, doesn't it? I mean, if the Republican senator from Florida comes out like, and not immediately, but almost immediately says, "Oh no," yeah, you know, that's got to be concerning for him, and that might be a little more in play, John.
That's what I'm saying, and so that's why this week is a big deal week. I think there's a lot of people who kind of live in the past as regards politics, right? They think that politics operates like it did in the 1960s, the 1970s. We didn't have, instantaneous communication. Something might happen. It might take a day, even till the afternoon of the next day, for people really to broadly have a sense of something that had happened. Now you get it, in the moment. And so the final week becomes a different dynamic. A lot of things that will happen in this week, revelations, events, speeches, all this, can actually influence, some portion of the electorate.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I will tell you is I think we're going down to the line here. I think there'll be campaigning till midnight, 1 a.m. on election morning, maybe even a little later than that. And not on Trump's, because he can't stay up. He can't manage that big a day. But at that point, he's just, like doom scrolling and tweeting. But for Harris, I think she and her team are going to, they're going to go for it. They're going to go for not just a victory, which is not assured, right? That's still the first struggle. But for a big victory, because that gives her, much more strength going into the presidency. And it also holds out at least the outside chance, I think a very outside chance, that they could somehow hold the Senate. Now, that's going to take some work in Texas or Florida to get one of those challenges to an incumbent by a Democrat to succeed.
Yeah.
I think that's a real uphill struggle, but that's what you're going for, right? You're going for a victory where you not only get the presidency, but you actually have a Congress you can work with.
Yeah, yeah. Folks are listening to the Dom Salve Show. That is John Nichols from the Cap Times and The Nation. John, I want to get your opinion on the billionaire influence, number one, and the lack of the LA Times and the Washington Post in endorsing a presidential candidate. The LA Times editor, she quit because of it. Folks are canceling mm-hmm. their Washington Post subscriptions because of Bezos and his decision on this. What's your sense? Do you think these endorsements these days, nowadays, do they even matter? And what about the influence of the billionaire on journalism?
Okay, first off, as Bernie Sanders and I said in our book, billionaires should not exist, right? I mean, every billionaire is a policy failure. You should be taxing. Once you get to that level, man, you ought to be paying enough taxes to bring you down into the humble zone of the 900 million.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
If he can make it on that, John, all you can do is try.
I mean, they're really going to have to tighten their belts.
Yeah, exactly. But, like Bezos, give you an example with Bezos. He bought a yacht recently. I think it was in the Netherlands. I hope I've got that right. And to take the yacht out of where it was built, they had to take down one of the most iconic bridges in the country. And the people in the Netherlands are like, what? We're not going to take our bridge apart so you can take your yacht out. That's how these people think, right? They think we can actually, just take everything. The Lincoln Memorial's kind of in my way. I have a good view there. Can you move it? And so they have too much money. It's making them dumb. And so, first off, that's my beginning point.
Yes.
But when you get into media, this becomes a really problematic thing, because the billionaire class is not without its needs and demands. And one of its needs and demands is for a system that is so corrupted that it benefits billionaires on a regular basis. It doesn't tax them. It doesn't regulate their industries. It doesn't, challenge them to be better citizens. And they fear the possibility that it might. And so what you're seeing, I think, with both LA and particularly Washington, D.C., is a decision by billionaires to have their publications stand down so they don't offend Donald Trump. Right. And this is a really terrifying notion, because it means that even the wealthiest, most powerful people in America are afraid of a Trump presidency. Right.
Yeah.
So we should take away from that a real concern. We should also understand that the American people still expect their newspapers, even if they're not, as influential as they once were, to stand for something.
Yeah.
And
John, we're going to come up to a break here. Yeah, you have a few more minutes on the other side of the short break.
Oh, I might.
I'm at your service.
All right, my man, John Nichols from The Nation and from The Cap Times. Stick around. We'll come back with John in just a moment. I've got a secret.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Robinhood is introducing forecast contracts so you can trade the presidential election. Through Robinhood, you can now trade financial derivatives contracts on who will win the U.S. presidential election, Harris or Trump, and watch as contract prices react to real-time market sentiment. Each contract you own will pay $1 on January 8th, 2025, if that candidate is confirmed as the next U.S. president by Congress. Learn more about the presidential election contracts on Robinhood at www.robinhood.com/election. The risk of loss in trading commodity interests can be substantial. You should therefore carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your financial condition. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Commodity interest trading is not appropriate for everyone. Displayed prices are based on real-time market sentiment. This event contract is offered by Robinhood Derivatives, a registered futures commission merchant and swap firm. Exchange and regulatory fees apply. Learn more at www.robinhood.com/election.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a three-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical five-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green to fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. Call 608-588-9880 today.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
News from the Center, WRCE.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. John Nichols, my guest from the Cap Times and the Nation magazine, sticking around for one more segment. John, thank you so much for your patience. We were so rudely interrupted by those commercials talking about the lack of endorsement from the LA Times and the Washington Post and the billionaire's impact on media. John, any more thoughts on that?
Sure. Before I was so rudely interrupted, here we are complaining about media.
Right.
But look, here's the thing. Billionaires have interests. They actually have a lot of interests in what government does. And, what the decisions of the owners of the Post and the LA Times, major newspapers, to intervene and to block endorsements, which both those publications clearly intended to do, ought to be troubling to us. And what it means is the publications aren't reading, or the owners of those publications are not reflecting the information that is reported in their own news columns, because yep. There are many, many good reporters for those papers. So that's a bad thing. And it's frankly a function of something that's happened in America. We've had an awful lot of our newspapers get bought up by either wealthy people, like these guys, or hedge fund managers. And in both cases, they often stop doing endorsements because they don't want to offend anybody.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line, though, is that freedom of the press in America was established with the intent to offend. If you go back to the founding of the American experiment, they weren't, saying, someday, 200 years from now, there may be, some rich guy who owns, a big company that ships you packages. And we want to make sure that he can do what he wants. That, wasn't the concept. The concept was that you would have a lot of newspapers, a lot of media outlets, different, you know, forms of communication that would create a robust discourse. And you ask whether endorsements matter. They may not shift a ton of people, but they feed into that robust discourse. And it's some people saying, you know, we support this guy, some saying we oppose. Endorsements are most important when they come from unexpected places, when a conservative paper, like many Texas papers in recent weeks, reject the Republicans because they think the Republicans are too crazy. Mm-hmm. Same thing would happen if a liberal paper rejected a Democrat. And so they do have meaning. They may not have immediate meaning, but they're part of that discourse. And boy, when you abandon that for self-serving, self-dealing, commercial purposes, you are saying two things. Number one, you have no understanding of freedom of the press. And number two, you have no respect for American democracy. Those are two pretty bad signals.
John Nichols
from that sounded too preachy.
From the Cap Times and the Nation magazine. No, not at all. George Orwell said it, right? Journalism is printing something that someone does not print, does not want printed. Everything else is public relations. And it really, and I feel for the journalists, and I respect, you know, the journalists at the LA Times and the Washington Post, most of them anyway, and they're beside themselves. And a lot of them, they put their signatures to a letter objecting to it, and we can appreciate that. Ironically enough, what, they changed their tagline, John, to democracy dies in darkness, and then they shut the lights off. John, before we run out of time, I want to get your sense. I saw you tweeting out on Eric Hovde, and we haven't talked since the debate here with Senator Baldwin and millionaire Eric Hovde from California or Wisconsin. He really, really didn't know a lot about the farm bill. John, apparently he's not too into rural Wisconsin. What was your takeaway from that debate?
Well, that was my takeaway, man, right there. You know, like, you know. Look, here's the bottom line. You know, we got this thing called Google now. It's not that hard. It really, and with AI especially, it is not hard to get a download on the farm bill pretty easily, right? And if you're running for the U.S. Senate seat representing a state that leads the nation in specialty cheeses and cranberries and, you know, a million other things, right. And frankly, it still has a very substantial rural economy with hundreds of thousands of jobs, blah, 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 whole thing. You would think you would at least make the basic effort so that if by chance some farm radio reporter asked you a question in a debate, you could give a credible answer. Instead, he didn't even try to lie to people, which is kind of creepy, you know? It's, at the very least, I want my politicians trying to lie to me.
And I read it. I love all parts of the farm bill. It's my favorite bill. I've read it all, but it's very private to me. I don't want to talk about it right now.
Nicely done, Tom. No, that's actually a way. What's your favorite part of the farm bill? It's 2 Corinthians, you know. But what I'm saying is, it's like I really don't want politicians to lie. I think it's a horrible thing.
Yep.
But I know that sometimes they do. And one of the things they do is if they don't know about something, they kind of filibuster in some, you know, vapid way. You know, farm bill is really important. And, you know, the liberals have gotten it all wrong. People like Tammy Baldwin, they just, you know, want to spend and spend and spend. But the way they spend doesn't help our farmers. And so when I get out there, I'm going to open up that farm bill and say, you know, hey, Wisconsin farmers, what do you need? How can we make your lives better? And I'm going to take that, you know, right into those committees, right to that floor. And I'm going to make sure we have a farm bill that's good for every Wisconsinite.
Perfect.
Now, I just said nothing. And yet, you know, it sounded okay, right?
Yes.
Eric Hovde didn't even bother to do that.
Yeah. Well, are you surprised, John? This is the guy that rolled out his campaign video for Senate and didn't mention the state of Wisconsin. 30 seconds left, John. Probably won't talk to you until after the election. What's your prediction, sir?
My prediction is Kamala Harris probably wins Wisconsin and Tammy Baldwin probably gets reelected. But it's not going to come easy. And as I said before, this is a very volatile week. So I could obviously and easily give you a prediction that was different in 2 days.
All right,
but
John.
I think where we're headed is there.
John Nichols from the Cap Times and the Nation magazine. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk real soon.
I look forward to it, brother.
Thanks, man.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour finds us in Viroqua, Wisconsin with Trigvi Olsen and Reed Galen. Come on downtown Viroqua and join us on the air.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.